52DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. After making a surprise trip to the capital of Ukraine today, President Biden will speak tomorrow in Warsaw, marking the first anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin also plans several speeches of his own. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Kyiv with the latest.
President Putin is going to speak tomorrow on National Armed Forces Day. He's going to address both members of the House tomorrow, at the Russian chamber tomorrow. We have to wait and see what he says, but I think there are real concerns that as we come up to the one-year anniversary that Putin may seek to escalate in order to potentially de-escalate at some point in the future.
President Biden also has announced more military aid for Ukraine. Researchers say they have the fifth confirmed case ever of a person cured of HIV. The 53-year-old German man has now been free of the virus for several years after undergoing an experimental stem cell treatment that's typically used for cancer patients. This is ABC News. We're learning more about a problem last month that forced Alaska Airlines to briefly shut down its operations after trouble with the tails of a couple of planes.
Two Alaska Airlines Boeing 737s taking off within 6 minutes of each other and both touching their tails to the runway on takeoff. Both planes turned around and landed. Damage was minimal, but clearly something was going on. Alaska Airlines tells ABC News it paused operations as it figured out the tail strikes were due to vendor software that was resulting in inaccurate weight and balance data. Pilots input how much weight they have on board, and takeoff performance is calculated by that software. Alaska says the tail strikes were barely noticeable to those on board. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The number of guns intercepted by airport security across the country has hit a new record. The TSA says it seized over 6,500 guns in 2022. Nearly everyone caught with one claimed they had forgotten about it. Actor Tom Sizemore is in critical condition after suffering a brain aneurysm. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Tomorrow is primary election day in Wisconsin. Voters will narrow a field of four state Supreme Court candidates down to two. There's also a Republican primary for an important state Senate race in the Milwaukee area. The Brewers say they know they have their work cut out for them, getting lawmakers behind their proposed long-term agreement with the state. Governor Evers wants the state to pay for $290 million for upkeep at the Brewers Stadium for 20 years. In return, the team would agree not to leave Milwaukee.
We're looking for what the state in the district obligated itself to do a long time ago when we signed a lease, and nothing more.
That's Rick Schlesinger. He's the Brewers president of business operations. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo was in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. The Bucks don't play again until Friday. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Monday, February 20th, the day before the spring primary election. We are here, despite it being a holiday for some. We are here, we are live, and we are happy to be here. Jane Matinair, how you doing?
I am fantastic. I just want to thank again Todd Alba for checking in with us last week. And I laugh so much in this job. It just makes me happy.
We really do laugh a lot here.
We do.
Despite
yes, we do.
The ticked off tee off, that we will have that again today. But we really find irreverence in a lot of this stuff, and we hope you do as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes if you got to laugh so you don't cry.
In a nutshell, yes.
And we try to really revel and roll around in that as much as possible on this show, As Goes Wisconsin. So we are happy you are here this morning with us, and we got a great Monday for you. So we do news this hour, including, as you probably have heard, a certain sanitation company, the 1910s called and want their child labor laws back. Or their child labor back.
The good old days.
But I think at the bottom of this hour, we'll rehash some of the details of that case. And they're not alone, because the Department of Labor has actually said that there has been an increasing amount of child labor law violations. And I think it brings up an interesting question around the conditions that children are in and the poverty that they're in, that they need to have these jobs. And that we're still here, and that there is this idea of, you know, freedom to work, which is true.
Yeah.
And this argument that some conservatives have as far as our child labor laws being too strict and in a short labor market, all of that, but also like in dangerous jobs like these, in third shift jobs like these, what are the conditions of the livelihoods of these young people? That they are not free from poverty, so their only freedom is the choice to work in these kinds of jobs. So we're going to spend some time about that. And then the All-Star Game was this weekend.
That's right.
But more exciting is the All-Star Game may be here in a couple years.
That would be awesome.
Bucks put in to potentially in 2025 or 2026 host it here. And so we'll compare potential economic impact of that versus the RNC at the bottom of the hour. But to start off, pot, meat kettle. So, you know, we love talking about Dan Bice's articles, our own muckraker, and this election cycle so far for the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary race, which is tomorrow.
Yes, you must go vote.
Along with all of the other, if you have a primary in any of the races down ballot from that, whether it's if you live in Senate District 8, you have a primary. If you're voting for Republicans, that is also tomorrow. But mayoral races, if there's basically any race where there's more than two candidates, there is a primary race on your ballot for tomorrow. So if you voted early, congratulations. If you voted absentee, you can check on myvote.wi.gov to make sure that they have received your absentee ballot. You can track it on there. And if you haven't, if you're like me, go vote tomorrow. Are you voting tomorrow?
I am.
All right. We're voting in person tomorrow.
Yes.
So this is, you know, this has been a interesting race, to say the least, already, largely because of the infighting that's been happening between the two conservative candidates, Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro.
Disarray.
Which doesn't mean that it hasn't been across the aisle bombs thrown at each other. Most of which, I would say, many of which, is Dan Kelly being very critical of Janet Protasiewicz on how partisan she is. And saying that she, you know, her kind of coming out and saying, and I would say it's unusual in the way that she's talking about her values versus just talking about case law. But again, we're in this weird scenario where we elect justices and not all of us understand case law. And so she is saying where she stands on abortion rights, where she stands on redistricting. And Dan Kelly has been very vocal about how partisan he finds her.
Putting her thumb on the scales, I believe, is something he has said.
He tweeted earlier this month, the media and her allies, because of course the media is on her side, the media and her allies can deny it and run cover for her all day long. But when Janet for Justice tells you that she'll put her thumb on the scales of justice, believe her. But my question is, was it Protasiewicz that's been paid nearly $120,000 by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
I don't believe so.
Oh, no, that was Dan Kelly, who's been paid $120,000 by the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
And this is recently.
This is up, like, as recently as December of 2022.
Oh.
So, if you missed it, Friday afternoon, it was an interesting time to drop this because, you know, people are typically starting to do weekend stuff,
right,
starting to check out. But Dan Bice in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dropped an article on Dan Kelly that not only was he getting consulting fees from the Republican Party, he was involved in consulting Andrew Hitt during the 2020 decision to have fake electors via Trump's non-election.
So, I understand this correctly. Dan Kelly was paid by a Republican operative to help them overturn the presidential election?
Well, it sounds like he was doing a lot more than just that. But in his role, because, you know, he lost in 2020.
Pretty handily, by the
pretty
way.
Pretty handily. And guy's got to make a living somehow.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And bills to pay.
And so he was legal counsel, giving legal advice to the Republican Party. And part of his role was that he was at the center of the discussion in December 2020 with top Wisconsin Republicans over the highly, highly controversial plan to covertly convene a group of Republicans inside the state capitol in the weeks following Donald Trump's loss to Joe Biden. Yeah. And so we know this because at the time, state Republican Party Chairman Andrew Hitt, he's had he's been in depositions. We know earlier this year we saw some of his text messages and him referencing Rojo being like, he's like, Rojo wants us to lie about this. And the other guy was like, what is he, what's happening? But in a deposition last year, Andrew Hitt said that he and Kelly had, quote, pretty extensive conversations about the fake elector scheme. Kelly was serving as the party's special counsel at the time. And he said, and this is Andrew Hitt said, I had brought him on in Wisconsin to kind of help with, he's from Wisconsin. I brought him on to kind of advise on election law matters. And, but yeah, so he, and that, so that was back in 2020. But records show that Kelly has been taking checks from the Republican Party as recently as December, which was after he's already announced his candidacy for this go around of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. And not only that, but also back in 2020, he ran his losing bid for the state Supreme Court from the GOP headquarters in Madison. And so it's...
isn't that a conflict of interest? Is that legal?
I think it's...
It must be.
It must be legal, but as far as it... Is it ethical? Is it hypocrisy to be like... To be talking nonstop about Janet Protasiewicz and how partisan she is and not look in the mirror as far as you are actively working with the Republican Party as of 2 months ago. And so I just find it very funny that this guy can't look in the mirror. I mean, of course, and I know that this is, it's nonpartisan only in name, right?
Very much so.
Very much so. We understand that as soon as tomorrow's primary is over, the votes are counted between, I mean, and who knows? I mean, something could crazy could happen and both Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell could get through, or in, you know, both Doro and Kelly could get through. So like, it is not a partisan primary. And so there is wild scenarios where it's not one liberal and one conservative judge going on to the general after tomorrow. Most likely that is going to be what we're going to see. And I think my prediction is that Janet will be in the lead. Janet will get the most votes. I have no prediction between who's going to win between Doro and
really
Kelly. And unfortunately, I think, because Everett Mitchell just raised such a small amount of money compared to everyone else.
Yes.
And I think it says nothing about who he is as a candidate. And granted, we didn't get, unlike some of the other civic media shows who've had the chance to talk to some of the candidates, I haven't talked to any of them yet. Hopefully after we get into the general, we'll invite the two that get through
right
to come on the show. But I think, you know, some of this isn't always like the best candidate. Some of it's who raised the most money, who has the best organized campaign. But I think Janet will get through, and it'll be interesting to see between these two who get through. But I just can't wrap my head around the fact that he can, with a straight face, he being Dan Kelly, talk about how partisan Protasiewicz is while he was taking money and literally working for the Republican Party while he's running for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Not only just this time, but then he was running his campaign out of the GOP headquarters in 2020. So let me know. Do you think this is defensible? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Teach them whole summer picnic tricks. You son of a gun, you. Come November election time. You vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pigmy, not for President. I am the judge. I am the judge.
Hey, everybody.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aisharetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with a high of 38. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows around 21. Highs level off around 29 tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies. 8 to 14 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 31.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
You're mine. I can't believe I came home to find my car keyed. Honestly, I'm way too tired to fight.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. You are welcome to answer the question, Dan Kelly. Big fat kettle, because he's calling Janet Protasiewicz so partisan that she should not be eligible to sit on the court, while simultaneously he was cashing checks,
yes,
from the Republican Party up until 2 months ago.
It's fine, Kristen. That's fine.
And so while that is, you know, because we all know, yes, this is nonpartisan in name only. The stakes of who wins this race in April, the reminder to vote in the primary that is tomorrow.
The general's April 4th.
The general's April 4th, but the outcome of that could quite literally change the face of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. It's huge.
Like in certain ways, and I'm trying to wrap my head around this, and you can correct me if you disagree, but I think in a lot of ways there is way more, the way I see this, there is way more for conservatives to lose, because if a conservative wins, I feel like it's just going to be more of the same of what we've been living in since the redistricting map, since the stronghold on the legislature, since the court's been majority conservative. And so it versus if one of the liberal judges wins in the general, like this could be, like if a redistricting case gets to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes.
Because remember, federal courts, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, not our circus, not our monkeys when it comes to redistricting and having those cases raised to their levels. And so if a redistricting case rises to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, there is a chance that we could overturn the redistricting maps we currently have before 2031, 2032, basically, as far as by the time we get the census, the 2030 census information back, do the redistricting process and have the new maps, which could solve so many things as far as actually having a representative government in Madison.
And I think, Kristen, that is really the biggest thing. If Wisconsinites are satisfied with representatives who don't have to respond to what they want, like medical marijuana, like universal background checks, like red flag laws, like a woman's right to choose, if you are perfectly fine with your representatives getting paid handsomely for a part-time job, yet they never have to respond to your phone calls, your emails, your text messages. They can just do with it whatever they want, and they have been because they know better than you. If you want more of that, then vote accordingly.
Yeah. And that really is, for me, what I know there's other, you know, this is also, if you think back to 2020, it was the Wisconsin Supreme Court that decided the outcome of the election.
Yes.
And
it had not been for Brian Hagedorn,
things could have been different. And there is a chance that we're still going to be a swing state. 2024 is still going to be as much of a battle for the president, no matter who the Republican candidate ends up being. I guess, technically, no matter who the Democratic candidate ends up being.
Right.
Whether it's Joe Biden. I think it's going to be Joe Biden. But that this, whoever wins that seat, likely will once again be the deciding vote on that.
Yep.
And so there are tons of cases that matter. But as far as me, what I consider, like, oh, Wisconsin could fundamentally change from where we've been for the last 12 years sooner than 10 years from now, basically. And that, to me, is worth a lot.
Again, think about representative government, which we're supposed to have. And yet, if you're an elected official in a severely gerrymandered district, you don't really have to care about your constituents. You can do what you know is better for them because you know better.
And that goes both ways, right? I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I had someone comment on, I love when I get this comment, and this is probably the video I'm going to make when I get home today. Well, you know, Democrats basically just gerrymander themselves into Milwaukee and Dane County. And if you look at the numbers from the November election and the 1.3 million and some change people across the state who voted for Governor Evers, around 230 some thousand were in Dane County. I think another like 250 some thousand were in Milwaukee County.
Oh, that leaves many hundreds of thousands of people.
Over 800,000. That live in the other 70 counties in Wisconsin.
Huh.
And so there is indeed, I know sometimes it probably doesn't feel like it, but there are indeed Democrats who vote for Democratic statewide candidates across the state, and they don't all just live in Madison and Milwaukee, and they also deserve to have representative government, both in their congressmen and in Madison. So,
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think not everyone would agree with you.
No, the guy who left that comment doesn't agree with me. And that's literally how I'm going to start the video. It's like, do you like math? Let's do some math.
Let's math.
All right. When we come back, let's talk about child labor laws and why we have them. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Got no problem with saying goodbye. Is it wrong that I'm going to be having the time?
Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. After making a surprise trip to the capital of Ukraine today, President Biden will speak tomorrow in Warsaw, marking the first anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin also plans several speeches of his own. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Kyiv with the latest.
President Putin is going to speak tomorrow on National Armed Forces Day. He's going to address both members of the House tomorrow, of the Russian chamber tomorrow. We have to wait and see what he says, but I think there are real concerns that as we come up to the one-year anniversary that Putin may seek to escalate in order to potentially de-escalate at some point in the future.
President Biden also has announced more military aid for Ukraine. Researchers say they have the fifth confirmed case ever of a person cured of HIV. The 53-year-old German man has now been free of the virus for several years after undergoing an experimental stem cell treatment that's typically used for cancer patients. This is ABC News.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A memorial service is in the works for former University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. During her time at the UW, she created full-ride scholarships for low-income students from Wisconsin and led the effort to enroll more out-of-state students. She died Friday from pancreatic cancer. Blank was 67. Republican lawmakers plan to craft their own state budget rather than work off the one Governor Evers proposed last week. They concede they'll have to increase spending, but will try to keep it lower than what the governor's proposing.
24% seems like a pretty excessive amount of spending. My guess is that in the end, we're not going to end up anywhere close to a 24% increase in spending.
That's Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo is in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. He hurt it last Thursday night. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hi, Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great, too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We welcome you to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And thank you for wherever you are listening this morning. Well, sometimes we always love it when Wisconsin in the wild is on something that's good.
Yes. Something to celebrate.
Something to celebrate. Something that's fun, like Giannis being the captain of the All-Star game,
right,
which we are going to talk about in the next segment. We don't like it when Wisconsin makes the news for breaking child labor laws.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
This is not good. So we've been running this on the newscast, but in case you've missed it, a Wisconsin-based food sanitation company, was forced to pay $1.5 million in financial penalties for illegally employing more than 100 children across 8 different states. So at least 100, and this is only the ones they could prove.
Right. So who knows how many others?
Yes. At least 102 minors between the ages of 13 and 17 worked for this is in Grant County. This is where the company is headquartered, mm-hmm. but they have operations across 8 states, mostly in the Midwest, I think, with a couple in the South. Packers Sanitation Services, Inc., so PSSI is for short, and it's one of the country's biggest food safety sanitation companies. So they do a lot of sanitation for other big meatpacking companies.
Right.
So this was an investigation from the U.S. Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division, and this broke on Friday, and a department, there was a media briefing, and people from the Department of Labor said that the children were working overnight shifts, using hazardous chemicals to clean saws and other high-risk equipment at 13 different meat processing facilities in 8 different states. At least 3 were injured while they were working, including a 13-year-old who suffered from chemical burns.
Oh, my. Now, for people who have never worked third shift, and I have worked third shift.
I have not worked third shift, so I will default to you.
It's at least my shift was 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
And, well, we'll get into the more of the details. But this is when I was reading further about this, this is far from the only company that is violating child labor laws. Since 2018, the Department of Labor has seen a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally.
50%.
50%. So a spokesperson from the Department of Labor, Jessica Luman, said that those violations can vary from children working more hours than allowed under law, using specific types of prohibited equipment, or working in industries that they shouldn't be. And, you know, I feel like this brings up, because was it just last year or was it 2 years ago that the Wisconsin State Legislature was trying to change the amount of hours that teenagers could work?
That's recent.
I think it was either the end of 2021. I think it was early 2022, because I remember it happening before we started this show. And in some ways, I understand the argument. I understand the argument of, you know, a character building job as a teenager. And I understand the argument of the labor shortage and encouraging more people to try to work to fill some of these roles. But these are very different than like working at Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, of, you know, my friends in high school in Madison, like most of them either worked at Quiznos Subs after school, or I think there was a lot of them that worked at Bagels Forever, which also leads to another thing, because the grade that was 2 years ahead of us, their senior prank was that they bageled the front lawn of the school because there were so many kids who worked at Bagels Forever. They throw out the bagels every day. So they were collecting garbage bags of bagels until the senior prank, and they bageled the front lawn. Anyways, that's a...
And by the way, that was from 2021.
It was 2021.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, so like those are normal after school jobs.
I worked at A&W. Yeah, when I was 15.
And if you want to argue that those are the types of jobs, and if people under 18 have the ability to work more than 20 hours a week and go to school, fine. They should have the freedom to do that. Working the third shift as a 13-year-old and the exploitation that comes with that, because what kind of living situation are these children under that this is their option? That their only option to help their families is probably not go to school.
Yes. And to work.
And work a dangerous job overnight And we're just, I mean, we're clearly not okay with that. They just had to pay a fine. But I also couldn't help but think a week ago when we were talking to John Russell and we're talking about Norfolk and the other train companies. And then in that same conversation, we were talking the same day, we had the conversation with Carrie Spivak and Daphne Chen about the landlords and these companies that they just bake this into their budget, that it is probably worth it to them to continue to try to get away with hiring children and just pay the fine once they get caught than to follow the law and not hire children to work third shift dangerous jobs.
We have Alan from Milwaukee on the line at 844-967-2789. What do you want to say, sir?
No, I had a couple of things to say about your discussion. First of all, it's against the law, the child labor laws from way back in the 1950s changed all of that to where they could not hire children. And if they did, after they have permission from the parents, they had to be 14 or older, and they couldn't work more than 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's the law.
No, that is the law, and that's why they have a fine. But my point is, in the same way that we're talking about Norfolk and all these other industries where they just, these companies basically can bake into their budget to pay the fine but continue to break the law.
But the deal is, are these children going to school? If they're not in school, that's against the law.
I saw less about reports about who the kids are. I'm sure there's probably limitations on how much reporting they can do because they're minors.
Sure.
But I would imagine that probably not. They're probably not going to school.
Third shift. Hello?
Yes. We're still here.
You said they were working third shift?
Some of them, yeah. They were working overnight.
Well, they're not in school.
Yeah.
It's against the law for them to not be in school until they're 18 years of age or until they graduate or unless they're emancipated at age 16 from their parents, where their parents are no longer responsible for them.
But we don't know.
There's a whole lot of laws that are from what you're saying, are being broken.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know that the laws are being broken. But I'm saying the consequences for this company right now is a fine instead of anything more serious than that. And seemingly, it's not really that much of a slap on the wrist.
Well, again, they pay a fine. Thank you for calling, Al. By the way, 844-967-2789 if you want to check in with us on As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah, it's wrong. It's illegal. And we also don't know if the kids worked until 6 o'clock in the morning and then went right to school.
No.
We don't.
And I mean, it opens up the presumption of the demographics of who these kids presumably are. I wouldn't be surprised if there was more reporting that's done on this to find out a lot of them are undocumented, that their parents are also undocumented,
right,
and it's just trying to scrape by, that they're just trying to get money. And it's just another situation where it's an easily exploitable population. And in the face of this one example, which is a Wisconsin company, but also, as I said, the fact that since 2018, there's been a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally, maybe the ramifications for breaking those laws should be a little more aggressive. Maybe they should deter companies a little bit more than they are if there's this increase. And the fact of the matter is, well, we'll just pay the fine. It's fine.
Well, and that's really disturbing.
Right?
That they bake in these fines with the assumption that eventually they are going to get busted. So they pay the fine and they keep doing it anyway.
Because as we said, this is only the ones that they know of.
Right.
And
well, and we're not going to solve the labor shortage by turning to 13 and 14-year-olds, right?
No. And so I would love to hear from someone who, because I know that there are conservatives who complain that child labor laws in Wisconsin or nationally are too strict. And, you know, they want 16-year-olds to be able to work more than 20 hours a week. You know, and they want, you know, this just this idea of having that
freedom.
Yeah, I guess. And truthfully, it's like the freedom to work, right? And it is on the other side. If you are a young person who is entrepreneurial and you want to work that much, I understand the argument of that you should be able to. But it's also the fact that what jobs are we talking about? What shifts are we talking about? And as Alan said on the phone, legally they're supposed to be in school. So if they're skipping school to be able to put food on the table for their families, we have a bigger problem here as far as who we're allowing to just live in poverty, which, speaking of that, at 12:30 today, Sherry Tussler, who's the executive director of Hunger Task Force, is going to join us because on March 1st, so that's next Wednesday, the extended extra food share benefits that was going to around 400,000 Wisconsin families.
Wow.
I mean, it was a national program. This is a federal program that during the pandemic, they had extra money coming in every month. They voted in December for that to end March 1st. And between increased food insecurity and inflation and rising costs of utilities, of rents, of all these other things, food banks across the state are very worried about how they're going to keep up with demand, because this is basically the worst time that this could be happening. And so Sherry's going to join us to talk more about what she sees coming down the pipe with this in the work that Hunger Task Force does, because 400,000 families in Wisconsin suffer from food insecurity.
And a lot of these are children and senior citizens.
Yes. And so it just goes back to, like, what are we okay? Like, what conditions are we okay people living in? Because these kids only take these jobs out of necessity. It's not like they're like, yes, let me go work in a sand. This is going to teach me job skills, transferable job skills for me to get into college. Let's go clean some saws with chemicals that can burn me. Like, this is obviously out of necessity of these are the jobs that we can get.
Yep.
And we need to get because our family needs it.
And there are apparently companies who will turn the other way when someone comes in and makes an application and they look like they're 13.
Because there's no way you can tell me. It's one thing with a 17-year-old, like 60. Although I will say, I've seen 16 and 17-year-old boys now, and I'm like, are you 12?
I know.
Like, they don't look like they're about to be adults.
Right.
But certainly 13-year-olds, especially 13-year-old boys, are not fooling anyone that they're above age. Unless he's huge. But that's far in between. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Talking about the Bucks when we come back.
Sue at A Woman's Touch Painting and Decorating reminds you, have your pet spayed or neutered, get regular checkups and vaccinations, be sure your pet always has fresh water, and never leave a pet unattended during extreme weather. Proper care will ensure your pet a long, healthy life. This from Sue at A Woman's Touch Painting and Decorating in Collins, providing painting and decorating expertise since 1999. Call for your painting or decorating projects at 920-772-4500.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with a high of 38. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows around 21. Highs level off around 29 tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies. 8 to 14 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 31.
News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
Tom. You know, me and Cage, we're Lakers for life, but there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, he's incredible. Follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. 1, 2, 3. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. MVP. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. Yes, it's true. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. We love you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Do you think he listens to that? Do you think I like? Like, as he has his big Beats earphones on, Giannis maybe just has this on his, like, playlist to pump himself up. Just, like, listening to his own song.
I'd love to know what his motivational playlist is. I think that would be fascinating.
For a lot of them. Yeah. I wonder how, like, what, like, I would assume that it's a lot of rap and, like, something with a strong beat. But I would love to know who has the most unique pump up playlist.
You know, there's got to be a show tunes fan in there somewhere. Come on.
Yeah. Or who listens to, like, classical music just to zen out?
Little as Mozart.
And the different what works for which athlete?
Yeah.
I would listen to that song every day though. That was like someone had made a fun. My last name
Kristen
is nowhere
Bry.
Near
Kristen Bry.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as fun as
we
Anna
love
Kumbel.
Her. It's Kristen Bry. Kristen Bry.
Well, last night was the All-Star game, and Team Giannis won. And so I guess they had some fun. I think it was different than it had been in the past, where him and LeBron took turns, because LeBron was the other team captain, and they took turns picking. They had the starters set, if I'm understanding it correctly, but then they took turns like picking the rest of the team. And so Giannis, who has a injured wrist right now, I know they're going to get that checked out. But he was out there with his notebook and looking very official. He had planned a lot. I guess he had this whole strategy with Drew Holiday because he ended up not picking Drew first and he threw LeBron off, and it was a big,
ooh,
it was very fun.
Psychological games.
Yes, exactly. And so, but then they pulled it out. It was so funny because we didn't end up watching the All-Star game. We watched The Last of Us because it's appointment.
You're into it.
Appointment yep. viewing. But we checked, and at halftime, the score was like 98 to 92. So it was just like, no one's playing defense.
Rack them up. Let them score.
But more exciting news, I think, because, you know, the All-Star game's just not a lot of consequence, really, for the season, but it's fun. There's lots of parties.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, you know, both the all-stars of the NBA, but also a lot of celebrities, a lot of parties, a lot of hullabaloo in whatever host city has it. And maybe could be coming to Milwaukee in 2025 or 2026.
The All-Star Game.
The All-Star Game. So over the weekend, I think it was on Saturday, it was reported that the Bucks will submit a bid to host the NBA All-Star Game in either 2025 or 2026. And I think that makes sense. If you think about the infrastructure that had been started for the 2020 DNC that
yep.
did not happen, the infrastructure that is continuing for the 2024 RNC that I think I'm assuming is going to happen.
Let's
as work. Far as I don't think we're going to get another global pandemic between now and then.
Let's hope not.
But, you know, the Wisconsin Convention Center is going to be done. The hotel that's next to the Fiserv looks like it's almost done. And so, you know, ideally having the setup that we could host an NBA All-Star weekend. And it's basically, arguably, if we were to do that, even a bigger economic impact than the expectations of the RNC.
Seriously.
So on Saturday evening, because this one was in Salt Lake City, which obviously they have the infrastructure. They've had the Olympics, right? Like, and I don't know we look up the population of Salt Lake City, because I don't know how much bigger or similarly sized population wise it is to Milwaukee. But on Saturday evening,
200,478.
So it's like half the size of Milwaukee. But they've built
that infrastructure
there to be able to host a lot of people. Because listen to this. This is the stats from this weekend. So NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, in his opening remarks at a press conference, said, quote, "In terms of the magnitude of All-Star, this is our largest in our history. They're estimating the economic impact here in Salt Lake City will be roughly $280 million.
Wow.
For a weekend.
Up for 3 days.
For 3 days. That's an all-time record. We have an all-time record in terms of hotel nights. We're occupying 33,000 hotels or hotel nights in the community here, and we have more fan events than any time in history." And so I'm pretty sure that the estimates for the RNC, which even those have been squishy.
Well, they're guesstimates.
They're guesstimates. And it's also who's it economically impacting and everything. But so I don't know. There's probably the same argument that number is squishy for how many people actually end up seeing that trickles down to for the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that the estimates that were used by Visit Milwaukee and for the people who were really trying to sell this to the people of Milwaukee of why we should want the RNC to come was $200 billion. And so if this is serious, $280 million for a weekend, then I'm just going to say it, call me biased, it's probably way more fun than the RNC. There's way more parties I want to go to for an All-Star weekend, an NBA All-Star weekend in Milwaukee than RNC parties I'll go to.
I don't know. I think there's a whole bunch of Republicans I would like to have drinks with.
Well, we already know that maybe not Robin Voss.
That just puts him higher on my list, Kristen.
I'm so curious to flash forward a year from now and if Civic Media and our show, if there's anything that we could potentially get invited to as press. Because it's just like, you know, obviously you guys lean left, but this is a big deal. And see if there's any doors or part that get opened or parties we get into to just be witness to the RNC.
I would think they would love having, you know, the opposition there so they can keep us all in a pen and direct all the rage of the attendees towards us. That just seems like a given. So,
yeah. So anyways, I'm in favor of this. I think it would be very fun. I would go to many parties if invited.
To the All-Star game.
The All-Star game. The NBA All-Star game, if we were to get that in a couple of years. Because the last time Milwaukee hosted an All-Star game was 1977.
Oh, my.
And I have to imagine it looked a little different.
Just even the length of the shorts.
That was a lot shorter. A lot
How
shorter.
Much,
a lot of legs.
There was a lot
the
of legs.
The 1970s basketball had a lot of legs. All right. Well, that does it for the 11 o'clock hour. When we come back, Representative Christina Shelton is back because her and Representative, well, we'll talk about it. She's going to be here next. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Onto the Cooper, onto the Cooper, onto the Cooper. 1, 2, 3. Onto the Cooper, onto the Cooper, onto the Cooper. MVP. Onto the Cooper.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.